you consider us friends, although we love you so. Who knows just what sound is going to be humankind's last? All we can hope is that it's as sublime as this podcast. By the Habanerial Show. And we want you to know that whether you consider us friends or foe, we love you so. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of our podcast. If you heard last week's show, or if you're familiar with our 7 musical albums, you know that the name of our band is Rash, and that my name is Bradley Brash, and I'm the leader of the band.
The glorious leader.
Oh, sorry.
You really must get it right.
I'm the boy wonder who, benevolently, if that's the word I'm looking for, keeps the rest of the group under control and making wonderful music for you all to enjoy. I'm sometimes called a cross between Jesus and the young Buddha, although I'd personally substitute Apollo for Buddha. Of course, while those guys devoted their lives to something as ephemeral as religion, I devote mine to something much more lasting. Rock and roll music.
Parents, do you approve of your sons and daughters falling under the spell of Rash's crew? We mean no harm. Our music flows abominable.
Stallion yet always remains a foe. Therein lies our goal.
To celebrate this sacred good time, rock and roll. We mean no harm. Our music flows above and our goal, to celebrate this day for good time, rock and roll.
Do you approve
of your sons and daughters falling all over the spell of Rash's crew? We mean no harm. Our music floods the bomb and the
of the show, my 17 bandmates are all seated with me around our polygonal table. How are you all?
I'm fine, Bradley, and thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, not bad news.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Apart from the fact that the 7-year-old is back on the booze, I'm tops.
I ran 18 red lights yesterday.
I dreamt I was an NBL cheerleader last night. By which I mean excellent. I dreamt I was you last night. By which I mean terribly disappointed to be awake.
Fair.
Middling.
I have a tummy ache.
Well, that's good. And as for me, I'm really good, except any time I stop working for a moment, all I do is think of you. And now, here's what's on the show.
This week on the Rash Hour, Rudy Harrington Schmarrington expounds his theory that we evolved from goats.
Well, I mean, how else is one to explain why I like to chew on handbags?
Elliot takes a more conservative, neo-Darwinian approach.
But maybe, only you are descended from goats, Rudy.
That's very close reasoning, Elliot. I'll have to consider that very carefully indeed.
And Cornelius Garduarduardue on the death of Osama bin Laden.
It seems to me that just as September 11, 2001 marked the true beginning of the 21st century, this marks the true beginning of the 22nd.
All this and more on the Rash Hour.
I'm sorry, if you don't mind, I just need a couple of seconds with my Vimbrail Jenkins doll. I've got something I need to talk to him about. I don't know if you're the same at home, but I always feel a lot better when I've had a talk with my Vimbrail Jenkins dolly. It has a special sound card in it, so it sounds a bit like Vim. Vimbrail Jenkins doll?
Yes?
I just realised something.
What?
I'm a very bad person.
Why?
Because When I was asking everyone how they were, I forgot to ask Graham how his marriage to himself went.
You cad.
Well, I'll try and make amends now. Graham, how did your marriage to yourself go?
That's something that I was hoping you wouldn't bring up. You see, I couldn't go through with it. I lost my nerve.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I sat down and had a very emotional talk with myself and agreed to hold off till June. A summer wedding.
But Graham, we live in the Southern Hemisphere. It's winter in June.
Is it? I never noticed.
You truly have eyes only for yourself.
Yes, very enviable. Well, as you're cooing and whispering sweet nothings in your ear, probably with the help of one of those bendy straws or something, perhaps you will like Romance with a Triple Bass, Rash's blog, where you will find lots and lots of fun things, not least of all the very podcast you are listening to.
At this moment, you could be making love. You could be getting married. To yourself. Or to a special other. You could be burying your firstborn. You could be doing all of these things. And listening to The Rash Hour at the same time.
All right. That's the way it is. Come on, boys, let's roll it now.
Boom-shanada, boom-shanada,
okay.
Boom-shanada,
boom-shanada, too much. In the groove, every living human.
I cry at night when I see the light of a chartered flight away. Cause it might be to some place with no red rays. Paw them if that's the case. Bring in that triple bass. I'm a fool for heaven's pool. I make that rhyme work in my downtown drawl. I love the monoliths above. I cry at noon when I'm shoo, a lone balloon flying to the moon. Cause though the moon's fair, it ain't nowhere. A town like this is so, so rare. Bring in that gauge and snare. I'm a fool for urban sprawl. I make that rhyme work in my downtown drawl. I love the monoliths above. Skipping on my doorstep, the city's one big rep. Company of princes and fools, scary ingenues and pretty ghouls. Wise guys and girls on the make, lost souls dwelling on their one mistake. Churches that look like houses of sin, queues that end but never begin. Runners that look like kale koalas, supermarkets that look like tattoo parlors. Judges and crooks playing volleyball in the park under the shade of the mini wall. Kids selling my wallet on a corner stall. I'm damned if I don't.
Rash love you, even if I don't.
Friends, are you tired of your current Tantan fan club? Do you find the newsletter lackadaisical, the group activities lacking in zest and flavor? If so, then I want to personally suggest that you join a wonderful new guild, the Friends of Octave Tantan.
FOOTTMAFFC, FOOTTMAFFC, Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club.
That's right, Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club. And don't just take my word for it. Ask my personal friend, Bill Robinson.
I've been selling tobacco at auctions for the past 15 years, and I have found Friends of Octave Tantan to be the most consistently excellent Tantan fan club that has come to my notice.
The word of an unbiased tobacco auctioneer will soon be the word of you when you join Friends of Octave Tantan. When you join, you will immediately receive a Friends of Octave Tantan starter pack containing the Friends of Octave Tantan manifesto with all new Velcro backing, allowing you to easily affix it to any felt or carpet wall, a newsletter containing all the news, jokes, and shipping forecasts of note to followers of Tantan's world, and a framed photograph of Tantan, artificially enhanced.
FOOTTMAFFC, FOOTTMAFFC, Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club.
Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club. Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club. Friends of Octave Tantan means a fine fan club.
Welcome back, and let me take the chance to welcome those intelligent life forms in the outskirts of the Andromeda Galaxy, where our show is just arriving as of 1 million AD, our time. We hope you enjoy our show, and sorry it took so long to arrive, but unfortunately we're a bit backwards over here, and we haven't worked out how to broadcast radio waves faster than the speed of light just yet, but we've got Cornelius and Warren in the back room right now working on it. Now for another profile of one of Rash's foremost members. Here's our resident interviewer, New England Lawson, in conversation with Sir Lord Baronet Dennis Haynes.
Actor, manager, chorus boy in the original Godo, Sir Lord Baronet Dennis Haynes has been a true doyen of the theatre for longer than the total amount of time you have spent eating hot dinners. We meet, at his insistence, at a small cafeteria in the foyer of a medium security women's prison on the Isle of Man. As my eyes free fall on him, I notice that he's not just venerable, he is vulnerable. I think back to when my first son Abel was born. I held him in my arms and had the disquieting thought that I could smash his skull with my bare hands if the impulse overtook me. I have the same feeling about this withered old man, and without any paternal love to hold me back, I fear what I may do, so I put him down. I ask him what first attracted him to the theatre.
The lights.
The glitter and the glamour?
No, the lights. I have a great admiration for Harrington Schmarrington's theory of evolutionary synthesis, but I would suggest the small modification that we're evolved from moths instead of goats.
I ask him if he believes in life on other planets.
Yes, but only some planets, not all of them by any means.
His first foray into the alien world that is the theatre came at the age of 9, when by an arcane and as yet unexplained process of elimination, he was deemed by the Soviet government to be the reincarnation of the great actor-manager Stanislavski. His inaugural work was the first production of Julius Caesar staged entirely underwater. Sadly, it was forced to shut down when the child playing Mark Antony was hospitalized with what the broadsheets claimed, with typical Russian hyperbole, to be the bends. Unhappy with this treatment, young Dennis demanded to speak to Stalin, threatening to kick him in the shin if he didn't allow the show to be put back on. Never one to take such a threat lightly, the statesman quickly met with Dennis and agreed, maybe at best, that after a weekend of sightseeing, he returned to his family. I ask, what was your impression of Stalin?
He had remarkably good breath.
Would you deliberately seek out his presence in order to get a whiff of this breath?
Ooh. Well, no, that would have been a bit odd.
His next job was behind the scenes, assisting Arthur Miller in the writing of his plays.
That's right. Arthur was a wonderful writer, but he always got the words and an confused. For example, that famous line from All My Sons, "We've made a terrible mistake with Mother." That was originally, "We've made an terrible mistake with Mother."
How Arthur must have resented Sir Lord. How he must have dreamt, even in his waking moments, of thrashing him, of smashing his head between the pages of the Aardvark to Abacus volume of the first edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
No, he didn't. He didn't do any of that. Wasn't really his style. All he did, as far as I can recall, is poke my left eye out. But that eventuated in me playing Bluebeard in a summer pantomime in 1993, so it was actually a blessing in disguise.
A career of dazzling highs, but what, I ask, of the lows?
I once considered suicide during a particularly bad production of Endgame.
Was that the production that was so low budget you couldn't even afford rubbish bins?
Yes, that's the one. I was very miserable, so I decided I would have to end it all. I planned the whole thing out to the last detail. I decided to make a romantic gesture. I'd jump off the roof of the theatre where the show was playing. Problem was, it was a single-story theatre. I would have been lucky to bruise my shin. I decided I'd open the manhole cover below, so I'd have a bigger fall. But then I realised that if I picked the wrong time of day, no one would see me die, which wouldn't be very romantic. So I decided to go on the promotional trail, pushing and pushing this play as much as was humanly possible, so there would be queues for the show a mile long, and an abundant audience for my truly dramatic exit from this mortal coil.
So, what happened?
I decided that would be the easy way out.
He has been complaining of chest pain throughout the interview. As we bid each other fond farewell, I notice his face is shorn of colour. And as I pause to watch him walk away, he groans, then collapses in the damp, cold gutter. I do nothing to help him, for I am but a journalist.
Thanks, New England, that was good. And now, oh, this is going to be a fun segment. This is where we play surprises on each other. First, Xavier Xavier.
Yes?
You know your wife, Yvonne?
My dear Yvonne, wife of 15 years. Why, of course I remember her.
Well, guess what? She's not really your wife.
What?
She's a robot named Copernicus 7. She subsists on Acidophilus bacteria and has an electronic brain.
Oh, I wondered why your cult bill was so exorbitant.
Well, don't worry, she's going to be dismantled after the show.
Do I have to pay for that?
Only for the labour.
Oh, good.
And now, Elliot, what do you have?
Sir Lord Baronet Dennis Haynes?
Yes?
Although we enjoyed New England Lawson's profile of you today, we thought we could learn more. So, we broke into your house last night.
You rotters.
And in the interest of embarrassing you as much as possible, we decided to boot up your personal computer.
Oh, Lord.
After doing so, we checked your web browsing history. Surely the best and truest way to see what really makes you tick.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So now, we are going to reveal to the world what your most visited site was.
Elliot, is this because I called your sister a boy-shaped mole?
The Wikipedia page about We of the Never Never.
Jeepers meepers.
Quiet, Vimbrail Jenkins doll.
Well, I'm a big fan.
I didn't know that. That's my mum's favourite book, you know.
Oh, well, I have no interest in the book, but by God, that Wikipedia page. It's the most impeccable thing I've ever seen, read, or felt.
What's your favourite bit?
I don't know. I don't read it for certain passages. I read it for the whole holistic, indeed, experience.
Well, that's all very well, but because you visit that page the most instead of Rash's own site, Romance with a Triple Base, we are going to have to dock you a week's pay.
But I'm on the scheme where I pay to be in the band.
Oh, that's right. How much do you pay?
I tithe 10% of my income.
Oh, well, in that case, I suppose it's only logical that because of your insubordination, we'll pay you 10% of our income then.
It's a fair cop.
And now, I'm very excited because my Uncle Jeff is going to come in and tell us about the top fishing spots this weekend. So if you're...
Bradley, if I may make...
Martin, I'm trying to introduce a segment.
But we actually have one more surprise.
Martin, the cardinal rule of comedy is everything in twos, so I don't think we can do that. Sorry.
If you'd let me say a few words.
Okay, but they better be made up of short phonemes.
Happy name day, Bradley.
Yeah, what is this?
We say happy name day, Bradley. Happy name day, Bradley. So happy we make it up to Bradley.
But guys, my name day is in 4 months' time.
What?
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 What? What?
You must have read the erroneous entry in this year's TV Hits Giants of Rococo and Roll calendar.
Normally they're very reliable.
Well, you should be more careful.
Maybe we could make today your nominal name day, like the Queen's birthday holiday.
Good thinking, Martin.
Anyway, we do have a few things planned for you, so we might as well get on with them. Cornelius Garjuajuajue has a haiku he'd like to read you.
Okay.
Boy with auburn hair chooses to follow time's whim. Journey continues.
That was pretty good, I guess.
Now Warren Remit would like to read an epic poem he's composed for the occasion.
How long is it?
600 lines.
Oh, I'm just thinking about Uncle Jeff's segment, Warren.
Bradley, I understand.
It sounds like it'll be really good, but... why don't you just give me the last word of each stanza?
No, Bradley, we don't need to do it. We'll just forget about it.
No. Last word of each stanza, please.
Yeah, all right. Whenever. Quasars. Caressing. Video phones. Deceived. Retribution. Yesterday.
Yes, I get the picture. Very good, Warren. Very good indeed.
Not that great.
Now, Elliot and I have come up with a little quiz about you to see if you know as much about yourself as we know about you.
Oh, that sounds fun.
First, Bradley, what was the first book you read?
Oh, do periodicals count as books?
What was the first book you read?
Well, thinking it would be a good starting point, I think I started with Wells's History of the World.
In its single volume form?
No, the expanded edition.
Who wrote the introduction?
You?
Correct. What was your first word?
Perhaps.
Correct. In a recent interview with the Trading Post, how many words did it take you to refute Einstein's theory of relativity?
8.
7. Butt-headed counts as one word.
Of course.
Who was your favourite member of the Andrews Sisters?
Laverne.
Really?
Yes?
What's your third greatest fear?
Accidentally swallowing a clarinet while I'm sleeping.
What's your second greatest fear?
People accidentally spelling my name Bradley.
What's your greatest fear?
Being asked what my second greatest fear is.
When was the last time you cried?
My niece is a brilliant hockey player. The day before her state final, she fractured her leg when her fork lifted a spoon drain and jackknifed. Even so, she had the courage and strength not only to play in the game, but to shoot the winning goal.
You were moved by her achievement.
No, I'd put $10 on the other team.
Finally, if you could live your life again, what would you change?
I'd wear much more purple, and also buy more purple clothes for you, Elliot, because I think you'd look good in it too.
That's so nice of you.
Did I pass?
What do you think?
Well, I suppose I should take this opportunity to thank you all. It's always a very moving thing for a man to know how much he means to his pals, and might I add that I came very close to tears during this little celebration of my life. If it was just a mite more moving, I would surely be a babbling baby, as I can see you are all fast becoming. I must admit that this is a far more pleasant way to celebrate my anniversary than my experiences last year, when my family got me a piñata that was actually a papier-mâché-covered mule. Well, I suppose all there is left to do is to say thank you, everyone, and enjoy the party.
Strike up the band! And a one, and a two, and a three, and a go!
Rash party time! We like reasonable rhyme, but that's so crime. In the tale of the wolf and beast, drink from the glass of fermented yeast.
A trip down memory lane as we play this episode in its entirety all over again.
Now we're through, hope that you can take our bidding adieu. We must head on now. After taking one more bow, now you wake, now you take one big breath and start to shake.
Like I'm overstressed, Dan.
At this one last chance.
Boom-shada, 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 boom-shada.
Someone gets off of their seat and presses repeat.